This week's parasha, Parashas Emor, talks about the Korban Omer. Let's discuss the Korban Omer. It says in the Pasuk, Kapitel Chav Gimel, Pasuk Yud Aleph, V'heinif Esa Omer Lefnei Hashem L'Ritzoinchem Mimocharos HaShabbos Yinifenu HaKoyin. Mimocharos HaShabbos. When was the Korban Omer brought? On the day after Shabbos. Gemara discusses at length when is the day after Shabbos. The Gemara explains that it does not mean Shabbos, rather it means the first day of Pesach. The Tzedakim, they said that it meant actually Shabbos, and they always put the Korban Omer on a Sunday. They said the day after Shabbos is Sunday. But the Chachamim say that no, Shabbos is Pesach. Why, that's not for now, but they give a whole different, there's all different explanations of why we call Pesach Shabbos. So what is the Korban Omer? And before that, what is Pesach, the first day of Pesach? The first day of Pesach, it says it's a Rosh Hashanah for Tzvuah. We have in Rosh Hashanah, the Yom Tov Rosh Hashanah is the Rosh Hashanah for people. That's when they exalt in of what everything, what's going to happen to each and every individual. And on Pesach is the Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of the year, with the Psak Din for Tzvuah, what's going to be with the Tzvuah. It's for this reason, by the way, that one of the explanations of what happened with Yosef and Pari. Pari had a dream. And none of his chartumim, no one could understand what the purpose in the dream was. No one understood. They all gave different reasons. They said his daughters were going to die. They gave all various reasons of what the dreams were about. But none of them could figure it out. Yosef came and said there's going to be 7 years of good, plenty, 7 years of famine, and so on. The question that everybody asks is, it seems pretty simple. There were 7 skinny cows, and there were 7 lean cows, and the 7 lean cows swallowed up the 7 skinny cows, the 7 lean cows followed up the 7 fat cows. It seems pretty odd. I mean, maybe it's because we know it, but it doesn't seem like such a hard explanation that you needed Yosef to come. And none of the Chatum were talking about, they're supposed to be smart people. Why could anyone figure it out? And the reason that they didn't understand it was because it was Rosh Hashanah time. It says, the Chazal tell us that Yosef and Tzadik got out of jail on Rosh Hashanah. So Rosh Hashanah time, even the Chaitumim Mitzrayim, they knew that Rosh Hashanah is a time when each individual is judged. An individual, what's going to happen to each individual? When do they judge the Tzvuah? Pesach, the first day of Pesach. So if it would have been, if Barry would have had this dream on the first day of Pesach, they all would have had this reason. Perfect, makes sense. We're talking about the Tzvuah. There's going to be 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine. Perfect, makes sense. But they all said, can't be, it's Rosh Hashanah. What does it have to do with the Tzvuah? So they all came up with different things about Paray personally, that his daughters were going to die, judgment on individuals. Yosef HaTzadik explained to them later that you should know that it's a weird thing. Yosef tells Paray what his dream was about, and then he says, and make me decide the Mishnah Melech. Oh, a little chutzpah, I mean. Good, so you came up with the right answer. But to tell him, demand is, make me the second in command? Yosef was saying is that the reason why no one else understood the interpretation was because they all thought that this is a judgment of Tzvuah. It wasn't a judgment of Tzvuah. The whole reason why you had the dream was for me, Yosef, the individual, should get out of a jail. It was a gemar din, a din for Yosef, the individual, on Rosh Hashanah, that he should get out of jail. Not the side point of the Tzvuah, that's not what the exact din was. The exact din was on Pesach. But the reason why Pari had this dream was because of the individual Yosef HaTzadik. So now, a couple of questions. We bring the Omer, Mimachros HaShabbos, on the second day of Pesach, not the first day. The first day of Pesach is the Rosh Hashanah for Tzvuah. If we're bringing it, if the point is we're bringing it, the reason why we bring a Korban Omer is because it's supposed to be, we're basically asking the Baruch Hashem to bench the Tzvuah. We should have good food, we should have a good crop. If that's the case, why don't we bring it on the second day of Pesach? Bring it on Pesach, the first day of Pesach we should bring it. Question number one. Second question, why is it called Korban Omer? What does the word Omer mean? Rashi says Omer is a measurement. It's Asir Se'efa, it's a tenth of an Efa. Some of the streets, you know, you wonder, they couldn't come up with a better name than some of the streets. Hey, this is what the Torah can come up with. Carbon Omer, you're just naming it by the measurement of what you have to bring. Carbon Toide. When I say a carbon Toide, tell us what the carbon is about. There's a shlamim, all these things, echatos, these are things that we understand of the connection of what we're doing. The word Omer, what is it, what is the connection, why is it called a carbon Omer? It says in the Medrash that in this chus of the carbon Omer, Avraham Avinu was Eicha to receive Eretz Canaan. Klal Yisrael were saved in the days of Chizkiah, in the days of Haman, in the days of Yechezkel. Tremendous, tremendous things happened in the schus of the Omer. Question is what's so chashuv, what's so important, what's so great about this carbon Omer? The Rebbe Yosef says that Klal Yisrael received the man every day when they're in the Midbar. For 40 years, they received the man. When did it stop? It stopped on the second day of Pesach. The last year, when Klal Yisrael, it says that the actual man stopped on the day that Moshe Rabbeinu died, on Zayin Adar. And it lasted, it was left over man. It lasted until the second day of Pesach. And some Sefer says that, what does it mean that everyone ended up all of a sudden, all the months got finished on the second day of Pesach? He assumed, the Chassam Sofer says, Mestam, some people had more and some people had less. He says it's part of what brought the Klal Yisrael were really be'achdus at that point, before they went through the Midbar for 40 years, and even if people had mon, they all sheared. Everyone sheared whatever they had. So all the mon got completed on the same day, on Tez Zayin Nisan, the second day of Pesach, there was no mon left. So the Be'er Yosef explains that on that day, the reason why it's specifically that day that the carbon mass he brought is because all the years in the Midbar, Klal Yisrael got the man. You lose appreciation after, you know, some people were born within those 40 years. Imagine someone was born in the 20th year. And he's born, every morning he goes out, he's a little kid, he's a 1 year, 2 year old, 3 year old, and the man comes on the doorstep, or if you weren't a tzaddik, you had to go out and get it, but the man was there, you didn't have to work for your food. Your food was provided by the Ribono Shel Olam. There was no working for it, no hegiya for it. So, it comes time, now it's after 40 years, and you have to go out, and you have to go work for it. You start to think, until now, Hashem provided for me. Hashem gave me the man every day. And now I gotta go work. I go to work. I'm the one that's making the money. I'm the one that's bringing the food. Thanks for nothing, Hashem Kaviyachol, Chas V'Shalom, the person could think. So he says is that when the mon ended, now the Klal Yisrael had to bring carbon Omer. The first time I had to bring the carbon Omer is, oh, now that there's no more mon, and now I'm gonna go out and work by myself, I have to remember that even though we don't see it, b'chush, we don't see the Ribono Shel Olam handing us mon. But even when we go out to work, the Ribono Shel Olam is also handing it to us. He's making us work for it. We have to go out and work for it. But it's still coming from the Ribono Shel Olam. That's what the Be'er Yosef explains. And he says that he should know what's the shear of the man. I'll tell the shear of the man that Klal Yisrael got was Omer. A tenth of an Eifa. That was the shear. The shear of the piece of man that everyone got was an Omer. It says in the Parashas B'Shalach that Moshe tells Aaron that he should take a man, in the beginning of when the man first started coming down, he should take man and he should put it away. Put away in a jug a mon, which I think it was hidden. It was hidden away. It was never destroyed, this mon. It was hidden away when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, but it sat in the Beis HaMikdash. Take it from the first mon and put it away so Klal Yisrael should remember that the Ribono Shel Olam supported them. So many of them, unfortunately, ask, why do you have to take it from the first one? Moshe Rabbeinu knew that Klal Yisrael were going to get this man for 40 years. Why don't you take it from the last one? Why are you taking from the first one? So, Mefarshim explain that the reason is because when people get used to something, it loses chashivas. Like we explained before a little bit. For 40 years, I never had to work for it. I don't appreciate it anymore. There's no excitement when the monk came down in the year number 39. There's no excitement. Oh, look, I got the money, run outside. If all of a sudden today, all of a sudden every morning you woke up and there's $10,000 sitting on your step, you're going to be excited about it. If it's flowing down $10,000 for 40 years, you get used to it. There's no more excitement about it. There's no more, oh wow, look what I got. There's no more excitement. So the point is that we have to remember two things. That all the panasa that we get, even if we go out and work ourselves, it all comes from the Baruch Hashem. And the reason that the Medrash tells us that Klal Yisrael was saved from all these things in the times of Avraham Avinu, in the times of Chizki, and times of Haman, that Klal Yisrael realized that everything comes from Hashem. It was in the schus of bringing the Korban Omer. It's called the Korban Omer. Why is it given this name Omer? To remind us of the Mon. It's a connection to the man that the Baruch Shalom provided for us, and even now that we don't get the man anymore, but he's still providing for us. We have to go work for it, but he's still providing us. And that's why it's called the Korban Omer, and that's why Klal Yisrael was safe from all these things. If you realize, if we understand that everything comes from the Baruch Shalom, and all of our food and all of our sustenance comes from the Baruch Shalom, it's in that schus that we can have tremendous issues. Few seconds later, Pasuk says, "Usfartem lochem mimochras hashavas miyoyim haviyachem es emer atznufa sheva shabosos tmimes tiyem." We count from Pesach, the second day of Pesach. We count 50 days. We count up to Shavuos. One question: why do we normally, if someone is getting married? They have an exciting day. They say, oh, in 40 days from now, I'm getting married. Tomorrow, in 39 days, I'm getting married. We count down. You say, oh, and then finally, the day before, oh, I got one day left. Why by Sfira do we count up? Because when we're counting to Kabbalah Sateira, there's a difference when we count down and count up. When you count down means that these days, there's something in my way. There are days in my way. I really want to get married tomorrow. Today. I'm excited. There's something good happening. I'm getting a check for $50,000. I want it to happen today. It's not happening for X amount of days. So those days are in my way. So every day I want to get rid of them. I count down. I have now 40 net days. I have 39 days. I have 38 days. Get rid of these days. Get them out of my way. Over here we're counting up. We count up. We count 1, 2, 3, because it's Matan Torah. We're very excited about it. But Sfiras HaOmer, the counting of the days of Omer, we're supposed to be working on ourselves. We're supposed to be trying to learn a little bit more. Try to prepare for Kabbalah Sateira. All the Seudas, the hidden of what we're supposed to do in the Kabbalah and the Hoyt and the Malchus and all that stuff might be too deep for us. But just on the simple level, that we're supposed to be taking each day and trying to utilize it as much as we can to prepare ourselves for the Yom Tov, and not say, oh, so these days are in the way. These are preparation. And Baruch Hashem gave Klal Yisrael time to prepare in the right way. If I told you you're getting married tomorrow, you might not be that happy, even though you want to get married, but you still need a suit, you need a tie, you need to get a hole, if you had no time to prepare, you know, you want to prepare somewhat. So while they count down, because they're saying those days are in the way, but we have to realize we're counting up, and we have to take advantage of the days and try to prepare ourselves. So we're counting up. Why do we count up and call it Sfiras HaOmer? We're counting towards Kabbalah Sateira. We brought the Korban Omer, we explained why it's called the Omer, we brought the Korban Omer on the second day of Pesach. But why do we count Sfiras HaOmer? Baruch Ata Hashem, we say, Al Sfiras HaOmer. Why do you count? We say, Al Sfira the Kabbalah Sateira. That's what we're counting. We're counting towards the Kabbalah Sateira. So why are we counting with the words Sfiras HaOmer? The Chinuch explains that the reason why we start counting specifically on Pesach is because we want to remember that there's two parts to us leaving Mitzrayim. We left Mitzrayim, and what's the purpose of leaving Mitzrayim? The purpose of leaving Mitzrayim is so we should get to Kabbalah Sateira. So we start counting on the second day of Pesach, and we count 50 days to get us to Shavuos, because that was the purpose of leaving Mitzrayim. It wasn't just that we should get out of Mitzrayim, out of the hard work, but it was so we should be mekabel the Torah. That is the purpose. The Sefarna says, It says in the Pasuk, Dabra b'nei Yisro amart aleihem mayadei Hashem ashetiku oisam nikroi kodesh eilehem mayadei. It says, why is it after repeat, v'amart aleihem mayadei Hashem? And then it says, hey mayadei, these are heim, they are mayadei, they are my yomtiv. It says, why is it after repeated? So he explains that if a person is mekadesh yomtiv in the proper way, then it becomes his. A person, yomtiv comes, and a person does nothing. He acts, he goes to shul, but he doesn't realize what yomtiv is, and he's not mekadesh it, and he doesn't think about what he's doing, then it doesn't become his. But if a person thinks about it, and he realizes what he's doing, then the yomtiv becomes him. It's called Moyadei Hashem. Imam Shik explains that when the Prophet says Sheva Shabbos is Tmimus Tiyana, you should count 7 complete weeks, and then the 50th day is Kabbalah Satayr. He explains that if a person does the Ratzon Hashem, he does what Hashem wants him to do, that's how he has 7 complete weeks. He explains the difference between Pesach and Shavuos. We're running along the lines of what we explained from the Chinuch. But there's something that's called a Geulas Haguf and a Geulas HaNefesh. We were taken out of Mitzrayim. That was us being saved from the actual hard work and being enslaved by the Mitzrayim. But the Geulas HaNefesh, how do we get out of that? We free our souls, our neshamas, that doesn't come until Shavuos. So we have to, he says, if someone does the Ratzon Hashem and he starts on Pesach, when we were free from the chains, from the bondage of Mitzrayim, and now we count up and we work on ourselves in the 50 days to prepare for Shavuos, and we have Shavuos, now we have the Geulas HaNefesh, the Geulas HaNeshama. And this is the whole purpose of our being taken out. Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who Ke'ein took us out of Mitzrayim physically, but it was all the Rabbeinu Shalom. In the Haggadah Shel Pesach, the Klechem says that we don't mention Moshe Rabbeinu. Except for in Yad Joshua, we say Moshe, Yad Joshua, Moshe Rabbeinu, so otherwise you don't talk about Moshe. You would think that in the Haggadah, Moshe Rabbeinu was one of the, he was the one, he was the face who took us out of Klal Yisrael. We know it was from the Rabbeinu Shalom, but he was the one that sort of led Klal Yisrael out. So why don't we talk about Moshe Rabbeinu? So he explains that the Iker of Metzias Mitzrayim, it's true. Moshe Rabbeinu took us out of the physical bondage. But who took us out of the Ruchnius? Mitzrayim is not us. The whole Haggadah, the whole Pesach by night, where we're praising the Rabbeinu Shalom, is not for taking us out of the bondage. Of course we're happy about that. Of course we couldn't have gotten to where we were. But we still needed to be taken out of our neshamas. And that the Rabbeinu Shalom himself took us out. And that's why Moshe is not mentioned, because that's not the main thing. We say in Mariv, we're going to say soon, Amar Mecheris Oilam. In the Amazon, when we say Mecheris Oilam, we're taken out for an eternal freedom. Question, since Mitzrayim, we were in plenty of Galus, we're in Galus now, Kaiso, we're enslaved numerous times, so how can you say the words Cheres Oilem? The answer is the Cheres Oilem means our neshamas. In Mitzrayim, our neshamas, we're in bondage, we're enslaved. The Rebbeinu Shalom, anything the Rebbeinu Shalom does, has nitzchis, everlasting. Moshe Rabbeinu took us out, the physical, that we fell, Moshe Rabbeinu was, even though he was a great human being, he was still a human being. And when he took us out, we still couldn't fall back into slavery. But from the Rebbeinu Shalom taking us out from the neshama, the Geulas HaNefesh, that's eternal. The ego, when Klal Yisrael made the ego, Klal Yisrael didn't see the connection directly between them and the Rebbeinu Shalom. They thought that Moshe Rabbeinu was dead, and they thought that they needed an intermediary between them and the Rebbeinu Shalom. They thought that they couldn't go directly to the Rebbeinu Shalom. Klal Yisrael, the main thing of what they have to remember is that the whole Yisoid of the Omer that we spoke about, the Omer representing the Man, was that the Rebbeinu Shalom himself gave us the Man. We have to remember that the connection between us and the Rebbeinu Shalom is direct. We count Sfiras Omer to remind us, and we say the words every night, we count Al Sfiras Omer, we call it Sfiras Omer. So we should remember and know that the Rebbeinu Shalom gave us the Man directly. It wasn't through an intermediary. The ego was a mistake. We thought we needed an intermediary. We don't need an intermediary. Klal Yisrael has a direct connection to the Rebbeinu Shalom. Even the Aseret HaDibris, Klai Ibn Shalom said the first two Dibris, and it was too much for Klai Yisrael, and Klai Yisrael said they couldn't take it anymore. It says they died, they were Tchias HaMesim then. Moshe Rabbeinu told them the rest of the Torah. But Chazal tell us that in the first two Dibris is Kail the Kol HaTorah Kula. From there we can get the rest of the Torah, but the whole entire is encompassed in the first two of the Dibris. And that Klai Yisrael heard directly from the Ibn Shalom. So we count Tzvias Omer. We say Al Tzvias Omer every night. We have to think and realize that we're counting towards Kabbalah HaTorah. And we have to remember that not just the Kabbalah HaTorah, that we have a direct connection to the Ibn Shalom. What's our connection? What's our direct connection? The Torah. Our direct connection is the Torah. The Ibn Shalom gave us the Torah directly, the same way he gave us the Man directly. And each person has to come to his own. It says by Rabbi Kiva, that Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Kiva says everyone is together. Why? What's the Yisrael? Because every person has his own level of understanding the Torah. Every person has his own path in the Torah. If everyone is together, and everyone together has this koyach of the Torah, then we can mekabel the entire Torah. And that's what we're supposed to be thinking when we talk about Kabbalah HaTorah, and we say, Al Tzvias Omer. Lag BaOmer is, Hashem, going to be on Sunday. Rabbi Kiva, we know he was a shepherd for Kalva Savua, very, very wealthy fellow. And his daughter Rachel wanted to marry Rabbi Kiva. She saw that he was sincere. She told him, I'll marry you if you go and you learn Torah. So she gave up everything that she had. She was rich. And her father said, I'm going to disown you. No Yerusha, no nothing. They lived without anything, no food. They had literally nothing. And everyone knows the story that Rabbi Kiva, for 12 years straight, he learned Torah. And he had 12,000 Talmidim. He came back to the town where his wife was. He was ready to come back to her. And as he was walking to the house, he heard there was a Husaba, there was an elderly fellow, who was talking to his wife, and said, you know, basically like complaining about, you know, that you're a living widow, you're a living almana, even though you're quote-unquote married, but you have no husband, he's not here, it's 12 years, you don't have him. And she said, Halavai, he should be away for another 12 years. And Rabbi Kiva heard that, he got just to go away for another 12 years, and he went away. He went back. After when he came back, the second time, he had 24,000 talmidim. What is the yisoid in that he had 12,000 the first time, and he had 24,000 the second time? The 12,000, the number 12, we know, represents the shiftei koch. The 12, it represents the totality of Klal Yisrael. What is the 1,000? Elef. Elef is 1,000. Chazal tell us in Gematrius, you start off at Aleph. Aleph is 1, Beis is 2, Gimel is 3, and you keep on going. Then there's the Mansapach, Mem, Nun, Sadi, Pei, Endachof. If you count, the Tav is 400, Endachof is 500, and the Mem is 600, and the Nun is 700, and the Pei is 800, and the Tzadi is 900, and what's 1,000? Aleph. Elef. The word Aleph represents Elef. That 1,000 is the highest number in one thing that we can get. A Tav is 400. The highest numerical value that you can get, we always count in the Torah, we count in thousands. And that's why it's called Elef, that's called complete Shlemus. So Rabbi Kiva came with 12,000 Talmidim the first time, representing the entire Klal Yisrael. And his wife told him, go back for 12 more years. What was the 12 more years? That they should be chavrusas. That we just said they should have 12,000 and 12,000, but each one should mingle with another one. Should have a chavrusa. There should be a complete chavrusa shaf. And unfortunately, they couldn't get to the higher level, as we know, because they didn't respect each other enough. They didn't respect each other's Torah enough, and because of that, all of Rabbi Kiva's talmidim were an iftar. The Mami Pano, I heard a shir once, bothered me very much years ago. I heard a shir, and someone went through the whole Suya of Lag BaOmer and said, there's really no Makar for Lag BaOmer. If you look through in the Achranim, it doesn't make sense. The only Makar that we have, he says, that makes sense, according to him, was that the Talmidim stopped dying. Lag BaOmer, the Talmidim stopped dying, it's a Yom Tov. He says, if the Talmidim stopped dying, if I tell you that you're going to lose all your money, And you're going to have $10,000, and for the next every day you're going to lose $1,000. And 10 days from now, after 10 days, you lost all your money, now you have nothing left. Oh, it's a yom tif, but you have nothing left. So if I lost, the Rekiel lost all 24,000 Talmidim. So what's the yom tif? He lost them all. If he would have saved some, so good. So, but what did he lose? He lost all 24,000. Not a yom tif. It's over. It's complete. It's not a yom tif. The Ramami Pano says that Rabbi Kiva was, it was passing on him the exact thing that he was also supposed to die. He was on a level responsible for his Talmidim. Not that he did anything wrong directly, but he was responsible for his Talmidim. And because he was responsible for Talmidim, it was nigs on him that he would die. And because Rabbi Kiva, and it says it's not because of anything, he doesn't, my mind doesn't explain why. He says it's unlike for Aymer, the Xavier that Rabbi Kiva would die was butler. And Rabbi Kiva, that was that, the big simcha that we have in Lag BaOmer is Rabbi Kiva did not die. And what did Rabbi Kiva do? He said, I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to say, look what happened. I had 24,000 Talmidim and they're all dead. He took 5 Talmidim, I was Shem Bayechai amongst them, and he started up again. He started up from the scratch, and he says, we're going to do it all over again. When you come to Torah, when you come to Avodah, and Yerush Shemayim, we have to remember this. Lag BaOmer is all about not giving up. There are times that we don't understand things. The Baruch Hashem does things and it's like, wow, how do I continue? Look what happened. This happened. That happened. It's bad. It's worse. It doesn't, I can't go on. That's the Yetzer Hara talking. Rabbi Kiva says, I've lost everything. 24,000 Talmidim. He took 5 more. He started all over again. He says, we're going to do this again. He's going to try to get to the level of a haftal yachad kamecha. Rabbi Kiva is the one. Rabbi Kiva is the one that we have who lost 24,000 Talmidim. And he's the one that says, klal gadol v'teira. V'haftal yachad kamecha. Lag BaOmer is a time that it's supposed to be chavashach, the people are supposed to be together, but realize that we should never give up. No matter what life brings us, it's not life, it's what the Rebbeinu Shalom brings us. Everything's with the Cheshbon, and we have to, no matter what happens, we have to continue, and we have to stand up and say we're going to continue on. Have a good chance.